of Psalms, chapter 32, and this is a Maskil of David. And it says, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as the heat of summer." Selah. Verse 5, "I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin." Selah. "Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance." Selah. "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in hearts." Hallelujah. Amen. Blessed is the one whose transgressions is forgiven. Let's pray together today. Lord, we're thankful, O God, that you have loved us so much that you were willing to send your son Jesus to die on that tree, cruelly treated and horribly maimed and so verbally abused and disrespected. But it was your love that hung him there on the tree. And it brought salvation and it brought deliverance to humanity. And we thank you for that today, O God. And as we preach this message and preach this word today, I pray that those who are feeling under the burden and the weight of sin will not leave this place with the same burdens that they came with. But I pray that when they leave this building today, that their step will be lighter and that their hearts will be brighter and that their minds will be relieved at your forgiveness in their lives, in the name of Jesus. And if you want to leave this place a little bit brighter and happier, knowing that your Savior is loving you and steadfastly behind you, would you say amen?
Amen.
Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven. The Bible says in Romans chapter, in the book of Romans, that I believe it's chapter 3, that everybody has sinned. Everybody has fallen short of the glory of God. There's nobody here today that can claim perfection. There's nobody here today that can say, I have never made a mistake in my life. We have all made mistakes and errors. Things that we said that we wish we would have never said. And things that we have done because of thoughts that we shouldn't have been thinking of. And actions that we have taken because of stinking thinking that has gone on in our head. And all sorts of things. And we have gotten ourselves into all sorts of pickles. And there's nothing worse than knowing that before God you are guilty of sin. It is a weight that we carry around. David said that I just tried to cover it up and I tried to keep it quiet and I just kept it to myself, my mistakes and my failures. But when I did that, my bones wasted away and I was groaning in my spirit all day long. The Bible says all of creation, Romans chapter 8, is groaning for the revelation of the sons of God, talking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth and the change that's going to come upon all of those who are filled with His Spirit. There is sin causes groaning and pain and sorrow all the way down into our bones. But I like what the writer of Hebrews said, the Word of God is like a sharp two-edged sword, amen, that divides asunder, amen, between the joints and the marrow and the soul and the spirit and the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. And somehow I pray today that the Word of God will get a message into your heart and into your mind today and intermingle with your thoughts and begin to sort out, amen, what is going on. You got an old pan of dirty dishwater and the grease is sitting on top of it. But you take a drop of Joy or Dawn dishwashing liquid and drop it in the top and you can see that grease run away. Hallelujah. I want to put a little word in your heart today. Amen. You don't have to keep those sins to yourself. You don't have to walk under the weight of sin and under the darkness of that condemning spirit that fills our souls and the fingers that point at you. Because God is a forgiving God. God is a just God. God is a loving God. And it is His pleasure and His desire not to punish us for our sins, but to forgive us and bless us because we were willing to confess them. No matter how bad things can get, no matter how horrible things are in your life, Jesus loves you no matter what. We used to listen to XM radio when our kids were going to Northside Grade School. And they had a kids station. And my wife already knows what I'm getting ready to say. One of my favorite sayings, one of the guys that was the announcer in the radio program had some different, you know, little pet animal friends. And one of them, I can't even remember what kind of animal it was. If it was like a little, I don't know. It wasn't a llama, but the llama was something else. But it was a little animal. It was a smaller animal that would ride in the car with him. But he inadvertently had done something in the car. Sister Lois, you know what I'm talking about, that he wasn't supposed to do. And then he would talk to the arena. His name was Lufa. He said, you love Lufa no matter what, right? And I love you no matter what. You love Lufa no matter what, right? Oh, yeah, I love you no matter what. Well, I just thought I'd tell you, I accidentally did this in the car. What? He said, you said you love me no matter what. It's easy to love somebody no matter what until we know what. Jesus loves us no matter what.
Right. Amen.
No matter what mistakes you have made in your life, no matter what failures, and no matter how many times you have failed and even made the same mistakes, Jesus still loves you.
That's right.
In fact, the Bible says that His love is one of those rare abiding qualities in all of creation. That it is before creation and it spans into eternity. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of those characteristics of God is love. It never dies. It never fails. It always comes through. God is ready to forgive you for your sins and your failures. If you are willing to let Him do it today.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because sometimes we do. We keep it to ourselves. David said, I was silent about what I did. It reminds me of his mistakes that he made with Bathsheba while he should have been out doing something else. The Bible says it was a time where kings went to war, but David was, I don't know if he was having a midlife crisis or if he was just burned out. Or if he was just depressed or what was going on with him. It wasn't like he didn't have anything that he wanted at his fingertips at any time. But he was on the housetop, on the top roof of the palace. And he was just kind of, In the mully grubs, and he looked out, the Bible says, down upon the houses in the city, and saw a woman bathing on the roof, and he called for her, and they brought her, and he committed adultery with her. And the Bible says she became pregnant, and everybody say, whoops. And so the Bible says that in order to cover it up, David had her husband assassinated, and then took her to be with his wife. And he kept it all quiet. You notice what David is saying here. I kept silent, and my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, and my strength was dry up. Sin will destroy your soul.
Right.
Sin will suck the life out of you and the strength out of your body.
Yes.
Because the human body and the human soul was not created to carry sin around. And as soon as sin was introduced into the human race, death and decay began to snowball in our culture and in our society, and we have been dying, and sin just destroys us from the inside out, and we try to cover it up, and we try to keep it to ourselves. We think of all sorts of ways somehow to get around the fact that we made a mistake. We blame it on other people. We blame it on this, and we blame it on different situations. And I've seen people this generation blame their sins on God. Sickening to me to see people that say such things instead of taking responsibility for their actions. Taking responsibility. This is my sin. This is my problem. The Bible says we sin when we are drawn away by our own lust, that war within us. There is a war that goes on inside of us. And as long as sin is in our lives, we cannot prosper. We cannot find peace. As long as sin is in our lives, we cannot find happiness or joy. As long as we're allowing those things to live inside of us, they will eat away at our souls. They will eat away at our sanity. You see people running to the doctors, and they're running to the psychiatrists, and they're running to all of these different people, and they're coming with all sorts of medications and different things. And I believe that the mind is a living, breathing organism, and that it does break, and that there are problems with the brain that can be ministered to and dealt with. And so don't get me wrong when I say what I'm about to say today, because I believe that medicine and doctors and all of those things, that God has given wisdom to the human race so that we can minister to ourselves. But at the end of the day, there are a lot of people that are trying to fix things and trying to have somebody fix them, but because there's something wrong with them, they can't put their finger on it. And until they figure out what it is, there's no doctor on this planet that's going to be able to fix the problem that sin is living in your life.
Yes. Right. Amen.
There's no medication. There's no philosophy, there's no counseling or schematic that can be put on you that will solve the problem of sin in your life. There is only one way that sin can be eradicated from us, and that is we have to confess it. And there is only one person that can get rid of it in our lives and fix the problem of sin after we have confessed it. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And I'm preaching to you today. And I can tell you right now, this is not the message that I had prepared. This is not a Christmas praise. This is not Luke chapter 1, verse 46 through 55. I know it's just a Christmas Eve day service, and we're going to dismiss in just a few minutes and move on to our holiday celebrations. Amen. But the Lord is speaking to me today. And in the Holy Ghost, I'm telling, there's somebody in this building. Amen. Your body is suffering. Your mind is suffering. Your spirit and your emotions are suffering. Why? Because you are covering up sin in your lives. You are hiding things in your life that God desperately wants to forgive you for. all you need to do. David said, I acknowledged my sin to you. David had committed adultery. He had committed murder and was a part of this assassination upon this woman's wife. And he was living as though nothing had happened or he had done anything wrong. But the Bible says the man of God knew that something was wrong. The Bible says the man of God was given insight by God, a word of knowledge. And he walked into the throne room of the mighty king. Hallelujah. You better be careful, friend. Hallelujah. You want a man of God in your life? But let me tell you, you better be prepared for what's going to happen. And he walked into the throne room of David himself, and he pointed his finger into David's heart, and he said, you are a sinner. And God knows what you did. And the prophet Nathan announced it to the whole world. Now you're really getting nervous in the house of God today, aren't you? So, oh, Jesus, don't let us have that good of a revival that Pastor Rob starts seeing what my sins are and starts pointing his finger and calling it out in public where everybody knows about it and it's no longer hidden. Oh, Jesus, please, God. Hallelujah. I'll confess it to you. Just don't let the pastor announce it in front of everybody. Well, we just think sometimes that we're hiding our mistakes and our failures. But even children know when something's wrong in a house.
Right.
You're not pulling the wool over anybody's eyes. But I like what David did. He confessed. He owned up to his sin. He owned up to his failures. He owned up to his mistakes. And he asked God to forgive him for what he had done. Sometimes, I don't know, it's maybe not so obvious. Sometimes maybe it's not so obvious the sins that we're committing, but we can feel that something is wrong in us. Maybe it's not something that the world would really raise their eyebrows or roll their eyes at, or it's not anything that would make the headlines or get you arrested. Maybe it's just something small, but it's just enough to suck the strength out of your bones. It's just enough to break that sound of groaning into your heart and mind. I just don't feel something is wrong. Amen. But if we will even confess, David said, Lord, keep me from presumptuous sins. Search my heart and know me. See if there's any wicked way inside of me that I may not even be aware of that is destroying my potential in you, that is destroying and stealing my blessing and my joy away. Sometimes it's not a sin that we have committed, but sometimes it's not doing something good, something that we have omitted in our lives. Jesus said to when the one leper of 10 came back to thank him, he said, where are the 9? Sometimes there's ingratitude in us that we don't see. Sometimes there's pride in us that we don't see. Sometimes there's envy and jealousy in us that we don't see. Sometimes there's fear in us. The Bible says the fearful and the unbelieving are going to be cast in the lake that burns with fire. My friend, fear is a sin.
Right.
There's anxiety and worry and fear in us. We need to say, God, I confess to you, I'm struggling with this, and I know it's not right. Would you forgive me? Would you take the hold of sin off of my life? Hallelujah. Well, this wasn't what I was expecting today. Was this what you were expecting today? That David said, I will confess. And he goes on and he says, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. This is a time that God can be found today. We're not yelling, we're not screaming at you, we're not bouncing off the walls. the power of God isn't really moving that supernaturally where we have all the chill bumps and tears coming out of our eyes. But let me tell you something. The most profound changes can take place in your life when you are at a point of calm and quiet and you are perfectly sane and in your right mind, and you talk to God and say, God, I need to make a change today.
Amen.
Why don't we stand together right now and we say, God, I need to make a change today. Well, there's no revival going on, but you feel it in your heart. I need to make a change today. But we've got holidays, but you feel it in your heart. This is an acceptable time. This is a time when God is available. This is a time when God is set aside just for you. Bring me your trouble. Bring me your trouble. I will hide you in the shadow of my wings. Pray to me now, today, this morning, before you leave, before Christmas. And let me offer you the gift of forgiveness. Let me offer you the gift of my love. Let me offer you the gift of my grace and favor in your life. There is nothing more beautiful than to see and to experience. For us to experience it and for us to see somebody experiencing complete and total forgiveness.
Right.
To see the weight of sin lifted off of someone's life and to see them changed, turned around, and renew. And walking with Jesus with no obstructions, walking with Jesus with no, we may not understand everything, we may not have all the answers, we may not know how everything is going to work out, but it's beautiful to watch somebody walking with Jesus and the relationship is clean and pure and perfect love is flowing between them and God. And when we get sin out of the way, God said that even the rush of great waters will not reach you or overwhelm you. And that God will begin to instruct you and teach you. And you'll begin to learn to distinguish the different looks upon His face. Some of you are so super sensitive to everybody in your life. If there's a grimace, you want to know what the pain is. If there is a smile, you want to know what the joy is. If there is a raised eyebrow or a scowl, you want to know what you said or did wrong to them. And you're super sensitive to what's going on in the people around you. God said when you let your sin go, and let His forgiveness and blessing come, that the only eyes that you'll really be focused on are His. And become sensitive, not to what everybody else thinks and says and does. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be sensitive. We should be. But that should be our motivation and drive in life. Our motivation and drive in life should be, did the Lord raise His eyebrow? Did the Lord grimace? Did He smile? Did He wink? Do I see compassion in His eyes? Or do I see sorrow and grief? And He will teach us in the way to go. And He said, don't be like a horse or a mule without understanding, and they're just instinctual beasts. They cannot control themselves. And several years ago, there was one of these racehorses out here that got loose and it got scared and started running crazy, and it ran between a couple of the buildings, a couple of the barns. And when they finally got to the horse, it got in between those buildings and was just instinctually just beating itself to death, trying to get out from between those buildings, just trying to go, but it was stuck. And they had to put it down because it had heated up its body to very high, dangerous temperatures, which completely, of course, would destroy its brain. And don't be like a horse or a mule without understanding. you don't keep a bit in a bridle, they'll run off, get themselves caught up, get themselves stuck. Hallelujah. But let the understanding of God flow into your life through forgiveness, through steadfast love, through His instruction and teaching. I want us to take a few moments today, and he finally goes on. And he says, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart." I want us all to gather around the front today. And if you can't get out or you want to, you can kneel at your pew where you are at. And again, this wasn't what I was planning on doing today, but I feel this in the Holy Ghost. And we've got a baptism that we're going to do before we leave. Nick has been around our church for a while now, and he's been praying and coming to prayer meetings and trying to sort things out. And I believe the Lord's talking to him. He is ready to be baptized. And we've got a couple others that want to be baptized, but they had to go to a holiday thing. So maybe next weekend we'll be doing some more baptizing. Let's find a place to pray. And let's let God renew our understanding of His steadfast love, His love that never wavers, His love that never fails. And I want us to say, "God, take out the sin from my heart. Take out the things." What a beautiful thing it would be for you to walk into your holiday celebrations with your families, having all your sins forgiven, having all the weights off of your heart. And what a wonderful thing. Brighter than you do.